Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
KNBR, KNBR FM San Francisco, the sports leader, a Cumulus Media station. It is always a pleasure to welcome in Rod Gilmore, ESPN college football analyst. He and friend of the show, Dave Fleming, make a fantastic pair when calling college football games. Rod joins us on the UMA guest line. Hey, Rod, how you doing?
Hey, I'm well, man. Good to catch up with you. Can I just have a moment to complain about my partner, Dave Fleming, for a moment?
Please, complain away. That's seriously all we do about him. Go ahead.
What kind of partner goes to Hawaii and leaves his partner behind?
Oh, that ain't right.
Yeah, that ain't right.
Nah,
no.
An ex-partner,
damn it.
I think he's trying to tell you how he feels about your relationship by going to Hawaii without you. Yeah, he's saying it very loudly on a beach with a Mai Tai.
but cutting him a little slack, I mean, the year he had between baseball and football and not getting a break, I can see why he took off.
He got 57 jobs. He's got, what, three daughters? So, yeah, you know, we cut him some slack.
Just a little
slacker.
Yeah. Are you feeling Brian Kelly at LSU?
Yeah. You know, once the shock wore off, it makes sense. The man can clearly coach. He knows how to build a program and maintain a program, which is something his predecessor had serious problems doing. I think they realize the image situation they have to clean up down there, because there's some incidences at LSU that were just absolutely awful. And you know, I worry about the recruiting, but Nick Saban didn't. Les Miles wasn't from there, but the only reason LSU football got relevant again is they finally started keeping those great high school players from Louisiana in Louisiana, and that started
before
Nick Saban. That started with Jerry DiNardo. So if he can maintain the recruiting, which I believe that he will, I have no issues with it whatsoever. And I didn't have to make peace with Coach Lane Kiffin, so I'm cool with it.
Well, and Kelly didn't make any bones about it. He's like, look, man, I'm going to go someplace where I think I can win it all. We can't get it done here.
No, seriously, well, they got into the national championship and they got destroyed by Alabama, and then they got to the playoffs a couple times, and that I get the feeling that that is topping out.
There's
so many different angles of college football we can hit with you. One of the ones that is really interesting to me is just how the college football fans are so hurt by these coaching departures. It's so obviously just somebody in a line of work that is trying to do, you know, make the most and have the most success for their family. It's no different than any other line of work. But the reaction of college football fans, Rod, across the country when their coach leaves, where people are calling Lincoln Riley a traitor and not just calling him a traitor, there were signs all over campus. People were posting signs saying traitor. I mean, is that a good thing for college football, because people view their teams as such and they're so identifying with their team? Or is it kind of dysfunctional?
Are you just recognizing the unhealthy relationship?
Yes.
it's
cemented.
It's been crazy for a while. I mean, you know, fans regard coaches, as their own, part of their family. And, you know, I don't know if it's because they go to the rallies or the coaches that visit at the frat, you know, or whatever. But, you know, they see them as their own. And you can't leave and you can't criticize the coach. They can criticize him, but you can't. You know, it's just nuts. And heaven help you if a player should do anything remotely similar to a coach and look out for his best interest and transfer, or, you know, say, where's my share? You know, it just doesn't make any sense. And, you know, the last 72 hours have been absolutely nuts in college football. It's been the extreme soap opera. And, I mean, we don't even know the extent of how bad it is. Let me tell you this. We were at USC BYU Saturday night. And all indications Saturday night where Matt Campbell was going to become the head coach by Monday. Mm. Matt Campbell of Iowa State Saturday night. And Sunday morning, that all flipped to Lincoln Riley. So the backstory behind these things, as it comes out, is going to be absolutely wild. But I think people were packed up and expecting something different, Saturday night. And we have athletic directors and members of the boards of trustees of these various schools acting like they're frat guys in Vegas throwing money around. Let it ride. $10 million. $100 million. What is, we don't care. Let it ride. It's been a crazy week, and we're heading down a path. I don't think this is great for the game. When you look at, you got a coach who leaves Notre Dame that might slip into the playoffs, and people got all upset when Christian McCaffrey didn't play in the Sun Bowl a few years ago. And we got head coaches leaving teams so that they don't play in big bowl games or maybe even a playoff game. It's gotten out of hand, and we're heading down a path with all the money where there's going to be some congressional action at some point to allow players to get organized or allow players to share in the money. We've already had one senator speak out about it. We know what the Supreme Court thinks about the amateur system that's in place. They don't like it. They've already said it's illegal. So we're going to see changes. And, the money is there, and it's going to get bigger because the TV contracts are going up. So it's, hang on, the ride is not over yet.
No, not by a long shot. What is the signing of Lincoln Riley mean for USC and mean for the Pac-12?
Yeah, good question. I tell you what I think it means. I think USC decided that they were all in, that they were no longer, going along with the tacit agreement in the Pac-12 that the presidents, have, that, we don't regard football as the most important thing. We're not going to do the things that they do in the SEC or the Big Ten. We're different. I think USC said, no, we're no longer on board with that. The highest they paid a coach previously was just about $5 million. They've doubled that now, maybe more. Mm-hmm. And they're going to pay assistant coaches, $1.5 million, $2 million, whatever it takes. They are competing against the SEC dollars now. They've basically said to the Pac-12, we're going on a different path, and you can come along. And if you don't, tough, but we're going all in, and they're going all in with paying coaches. They're going all in with name, image, and likeness. They're going all in on the recruiting budget. If they weren't using the private plane before to get everywhere, they'll use it now. They'll use the helicopter to get around L.A. to get to the high schools. They're going to spend every dollar. And the challenge to the rest of the Pac-12 is, either spend the money and catch up, or we're going to take control of the conference.
Level up or get left behind. It always surprised me that SC, being a private school, felt beholden to the rest of the Pac-12, which, other than Stanford, they're all public schools. They're not beholden to a state or any sort of oversight from a state. You can basically do what you want. Why would you have not gone down that road before? Because, okay, there's too much importance placed on college football, but college football is very important. That's clear.
I just think there was this understanding that these were like-minded universities, and over the last 20, 25 years, USC made a huge push to become more relevant academically, to become one of the top 20, 25 schools in the country. The view of their president and their board of trustees became very much in line, with the rest of the conference. And, we've seen that as the SEC threw more money at things. The Pac-12 didn't. The way the scheduling went, the Pac-12 didn't go that route. And I think right now USC has basically said, we see where this is going. There are going to be 20, 30 teams that play at the highest level.
Yep.
And we're going to be part of that. And we're not going to sit back and wait with the conference. If the conference wants to join us, we're going to lead, and they can come along. And I'm sure Oregon will. Beyond that, I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, what do you think? Can you see Oregon State and Stanford and Cal throwing the money at it to say, we're going to level up with everybody?
Well, they might not, but I could see Utah being a part of that. I could see Arizona State wanting to do that. I could see Arizona wanting to do that. UCLA, possibly. I think there will be enough that go along with them. I think this is going to be a real interesting test for the new commissioner, George Klivikoff, because can he get those reluctant schools to say, all right, we'll get with it, even though this goes against our nature. I think that's where he kind of has to become, you know, sort of like a whip in Congress, where he's got to get them to go along for the overall health of the conference.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be a fascinating experiment over the next year or two to see what happens, including, you know, the TV contract and how all that plays out, because there are a lot of...
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
That's a big one, Rod. I think that's that's a big one, because I think Lincoln Riley is part of that conference now. If USC becomes what USC was, you're going to get more money for TV contracts, and that will allow schools to go out and spend more money on coaches and assistant coaches, because they're going to bring in more money with the new TV contract. I think that that is a massive deal, because that's where everyone benefits. You may not be USC and you may not be able to get all the recruits, but if USC becomes what USC could become, like they, let's say they become what they were under Carroll, now the conference becomes, hey, we want your games on our channel, and we're going to pay you premium dollars for it. And maybe now, you know, DirecTV says, you know what, now we're going to have the Pac-12 network, so people know about the Pac-12 network. So then more money comes in, and each school gets more money, and now they're like, hey, okay, now we're willing to
money.
Yeah, now we're willing to go out and spend more money on these coaches. All of a sudden, you get really good coaches, you get more money, and who knows where this could lead.
Yeah, you're right, and the Pac-12 is third in line. They're not let next. You know, the SEC has already cut one deal, you know, with ESPN, getting away from CBS, where they were getting, what, $50 million a season. That's kind of going up to $300 million.
Yeah, that's absurd. Yeah.
That. So they'll get another bite at the apple with the ESPN package. And then the Big Ten. The Big Ten will have another bite at the apple before the Pac-12, you know, is up for their deal. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of ground to make up. We'll see how much they can make up. And, you know, if they get enough of it and they spend it wisely, you know, maybe they can get back in the hunt.
Yep.
So we'll see.
You know, it's so interesting. I mean, you know, you look at college football. We were all hoping, I mean, at least I was hoping that that the Pac-12 would be in the playoff, that we that this Pac-12 title game would have some relevance nationally, and it has very little. Friday night at the Allegiant Stadium in Vegas, Oregon and Utah will play for the Pac-12 title, and a game has really no importance at all. But I wanted to ask you, Rod, because, you know, I do Stanford pregame, and I see the attendance dwindling. And it's not just a Stanford problem. It's the fact that Stanford and Cal are in this urban setting, and college football is just not a priority in the Bay Area. And I'm not sure it's we love our pro sports here. And I'm just kind of wondering, everybody points to the Pac-12 network. But if you were talking to the Pac-12 commissioner, what do you think it's going to take ultimately to get crowds back for college football in the Bay Area, at Stanford, in Cal, at San Jose State, because these universities used to draw significantly better than they do now, not that long ago, and I can't really tell you exactly why how we've arrived here, and I can't tell you how we're going to go back to the way it used to be.
Yeah, first of all, I hesitate to, you know, draw some long-term parallels because of COVID, you know, the last year or two and what it's done to attendance and how reluctant people are to go to games. That's a huge factor in a place that already isn't, you know, crazy about college football. But I think when Stanford is good and when they have a superstar, you know, whether it's Andrew Luck or Christian McCaffrey, you know, attendance is not bad. It's pretty solid. They do okay. You know, Cal hasn't been to the Rose Bowl since, what, 59. I think if Cal can get it together and be in the hunt, all those alums would turn out. I mean, you know, they'd like to go to a Rose Bowl once in their lifetime, you know? So I think that excitement comes from Cal. Oh. Was that a shot? I'm sorry. I didn't mean that as a shot.
He took it that way.
Cal has to be in the hunt come November. you know, and they just haven't been. And I think that excitement would really, really help. As far as what kind of marketing things they can do, it's tough in a pro sports, you know, market. And quite honestly, if I got the secret, I'm not going to tell you. I'd package it and sell it.
Seriously. At least their granddad got to go to a Rose Bowl.
Yeah, there is that.
I mean, geez.
But let me say this. The Pac-12 doesn't do its premier teams any favor when it comes to the playoff. You know, there is no reason that Oregon should be scheduled to go to Utah in November after a Friday night game. That, you know, none of that makes a whole lot of sense. You know, you should protect your best teams a little bit. They were asking for trouble scheduling that game in November. I mean, we had a good sense going into the season that Oregon was going to be pretty good and that Utah would be okay. You know, last year, you know, when USC got to the championship game, you know, Washington was the champ of the North. And instead of saying, you know what, Washington can't play, USC moves on. Instead, the conference said, let's get another opponent in there for you, maybe one you can't beat. You know, the point is the SEC protects their good teams in November. Yep. So does the Big Ten, pretty much, except for the rivalry games. The Pac-12 doesn't do that. And I think that's going to be one of the things that, you know, coaches continue to complain about and say, look, let's not do silly things. Let's not make it tough where you're traveling back-to-back weeks or that, you know, I mean, Arizona State has gone to the Pacific Northwest 3 years in a row, and they went back-to-back to Oregon and to Oregon State 2 consecutive weeks. The players are getting home at 5 o'clock in the morning on Sunday and then turning around to go back out there. It's ridiculous. But, you know, that's just me thinking about what would be good for the conference.
I don't know if there's going to be a changing of the guard in the Big Ten, but what does this victory mean? We know what it means for Harbaugh. What does it mean for Michigan as far as maybe now recruiting and maybe having it like it was in the 70s and 80s where Michigan, Ohio State competed and they were on the same level? It was like Michigan could win 1 year, Ohio State would win a couple years, maybe a team win a couple years in a row, but then it was back and forth. It's been utter domination by the Buckeyes recently. Michigan finally got them. Is this, could you see it turning a little bit now where it's going to be a little more back and forth between those two? Or do you think this was a one-off perfect situation? The weather, the team they had, how physical they were, Buckeyes down a little bit, maybe on defense. How do you view this? Because I'm hoping it gets back to kind of, you know, where it's not just all Ohio State every single year that Michigan's back in the mix. I think it's good for the Big Ten, good for football when those two are battling.
I think it depends on whether Harbaugh can leverage this win. You know, if he can leverage it and recruit better and have a team that's in the hunt next year, then I think it changes. If it's a one-hit wonder, I don't think it's going to play that great. Ohio State will still be able to say, yeah, they won 1 out of 16 years.
Yep.
We'll beat. You know, we're back at it. But he's got to leverage it into a little streak of his own where even if they don't win the game next year, it's one of those nail biters where they're in the hunt so that he can plausibly say, look, it's a new day. We beat them last year and we should have had them this year. But if it's back to a 20 or 30 point whipping next year, it's a one hit wonder and it doesn't change a whole lot on the recruiting front. So he's got a window right now. And if he can make that window work in the recruiting and then come back and play well next year, he's got something. The key right now is if they can beat Iowa and get into the playoff, it'll really help them. But if they turn around and drop it to Iowa, that's going to hurt them big time.
It'll be almost as if that game this past Saturday meant absolutely nothing. You have to follow it up. Yeah. We're getting into the playoff because while beating Ohio State is good and important, the playoff is the ultimate goal. Does a two-loss Alabama team get into the playoff in any way, shape, or form?
Oh, you know how the committee loves Alabama.
Some Bama, baby.
Love me some Alabama.
They can't quit Bama.
I want to.
Can't quit them. Look, you know, we haven't had a two-loss team get in the playoff yet. If we get one, it will be Alabama. There's no question in my mind about that.
Because it's true. Yeah.
So if they lose a close game to Georgia, they will still be in the hunt. They won't drop too far. It just depends on what happens around them. I think Cincinnati fans should be a little nervous. The committee has been telling them, we like you, but we don't like you that much, you know? And they put Oklahoma State right behind them. And if Oklahoma State wins the Big 12, has a Big 12 championship and has two wins over top 15 teams the last couple weeks of the season, I think the committee will jump Cincinnati with Oklahoma State.
Absolutely.
I know. Yeah. A lot of folks are saying all Cincinnati has to do is win and they're in. I don't think that's the case, you know. So anyway, that's Alabama is in. If it's a close game, goes down to the wire. The committee thinks that Georgia and Alabama are the two best teams in the country. They've been telling us that for the longest. So if we're going to see a two-loss team, it'll be this time around with Alabama. But if Georgia does what they're supposed to do and wallops them, Bama will be knocked out of it.
You know, it's funny, Rod. I've watched Georgia about three or four times this year. And every time I watch them, I think this is so much the best defensive team I've seen in college football in a long, long time. I can't even think of any. They're dominant on all three levels. They got this monster nose guard who's like, he's like a three gapper. You know, he's the biggest nose guard I've ever seen in my life. And he's an athlete. They got linebackers who run like the wind. They got all kinds of guys in the secondary. They've had three shutouts. I mean, you've watched a lot of college football. I mean, are we looking, to me, this whole discussion is about who's going to finish second to Georgia. Georgia's defense is maybe the best I've ever seen. Where do you put it?
Yeah, and you're talking about Jordan Davis up front. Listen, this is as good a defense as, you know, I can remember. It's been a while since we've seen a team quite like this. And I will say this, for the Heisman this year, I'm having a hard time getting offensive players on my list, you know, because I think when you look at the kind of year that Will Anderson has had at Bama, Jordan Davis at Georgia, and Aiden Hutchinson at Michigan with, 15 sacks or whatever, those three guys have had phenomenal years, and they had phenomenal performances in big games that mattered, you know. And it's hard to find anyone on the offensive side that's done that. I mean, I probably have, you know, Kenneth Walker III up there in my list because without him, Michigan State doesn't win 10 games. And he's still second in the country in rushing, 18 TDs. You know, he's played well for them. But, you know, you can take the quarterbacks and, you know, whether it's Bryce Young, you know, or Stroud, you know, Pickett, group them all together. I don't think anyone has stood out. I think this has been the year of the defensive player, but my fellow Heisman voters probably won't see it that way.
I'd love to see a defensive player win it.
Seriously?
That'd be cool to see a D. It probably won't, but all right, last one. Who gets to the – I was going to – let me give you a two-part question here. They'll both be real quick. Over under on USC being in the playoffs 2.5 years. So if you say under, you get year 1, 2, he doesn't make it. And after you answer that one, who makes the college football playoff first, USC or LSU?
I'm going to say over on USC.
Okay.
I think it's 3 years or more before they get there. And I'm going to say LSU gets there before USC.
Okay.
You know why?
Why?
Because they want it. Brian Kelly knows his window. His window is only about 3 years anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right. He's looking to get it done up front.
Right. He's got to get it done. He's not going to do it when he's 65. He's got a window of, you know, 2 or 3 years to get it done. And, look, it's not like LSU is lacking talent. That is not the issue, you know. So they're going to be loaded. Yep. And if we've seen anything in the SEC West so far, you know, Alabama might be coming back to the pack a little bit. And if they do, you know, the West is open. And I could see LSU getting back there, you know, in a year or two. Wouldn't surprise me. I do think they get there before USC.
And I know we got to run, but Notre Dame, Oklahoma, who makes sense at those places?
Oof. I think that Notre Dame is trying to get they're trying to get either Freeman or Cincinnati's coach.
Fickle, Matt Campbell.
Fickle or Matt Campbell. And I think they're playing the game. I think Freeman is third on the list, and I think if they can get Fickle – You'll be able to tell by how long they wait and drag this out.
If
it takes a long time, they're waiting on the guy who's most likely tied up in the playoffs. And if not, then it'll be Campbell. I don't think it matters at Oklahoma because whoever it's going to be is going to answer to Bob Stoops. And so you're going to go from there.
Could you see Bob Stoops coming back for a returning game?
He's coaching the bowl game.
Yeah, he's coaching the bowl game.
No, I think he just wants to continue to be the godfather. Yeah. I think, you know.
How about Barry Switzer? Barry Switzer.
You know, Bob Stoops' word is gold around there. Yep. You know, so he's going to be involved in who gets picked. And whoever the head coach is, you know, is going to answer to him also. So I don't think he wants the day-to-day grind. So I don't.
But what about his brother?
Yeah, get his brother, Mike.
Mark. Well, he probably has a mic, too.
Yeah, can't sell Mike, but Mark, he could have sold, but Mark just got one of those $100 million deals at Kentucky. Why would he leave?
Did he really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even see
Kentucky
that.
Kentucky leveled up, baby.
What the hell?
Absolutely. It's wild.
How did I miss that? Damn. Get off the streets.
They are handing out these deals like they're candy. So.
Kentucky invested $100 million in football.
Football.
SEC,
football.
Baby.
Wow.
Hey, Ron, I was telling Coach Kubelik yesterday. One? That Holy Scott Woodward smokes. Is the MVP because he's gotten a lot of coaches paid this year. A lot of them, including Stoops. Oh,
yeah. He's running around with new cars, new boats, and everything.
Yeah, what you need? How do you want to get around? What's your mode of transportation? Rod, we always appreciate the time and the insight especially. Thank you for both, and we'll talk down the road, my man. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys, man.
Thanks, Rod.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.